Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Stasha's conference call to discuss the fourth quarter of 2016 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.stashaparticipants.com/IR, and EngageX platform, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Pedro Thompson, CEO and Investor Relations Officer. Please, Mr. Thompson, you may proceed.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2016. With me here today are Leonardo Moretson, our CFO, and Flavio Oliveira, our head of IR. Just to remind you all, there will be a Q&A session as soon as the presentation is over. Let us go straight to slide 2, which shows the agenda of our presentation. We will be talking about the following points. Quarterly highlights, where we present the priorities of this new management and the results highlights. Second, operating performance, which deals with the student base and the increase in the average tickets, thanks to the various recovery initiatives introduced during the second quarter. Third, financial performance, showing more consistent indicators after the implementation of new policies. And finally, the final remarks, where we highlight some of the new strategies and guidelines for 2017. Moving to slide 3, where I will talk a little about these new management priorities. 2016 was a period of change, which began with the election of the Board of Directors in April. The entry of new independent members and the election of a new chairman of the Board of Directors provided Stasha's management with a more accurate view on governance. From the beginning, it became clear the need to review our strategy, policies, and internal practices, mainly because of the economic downturn and regulatory restrictions experienced by the company. Therefore, we began with the replacement of the revamp of the entire board of executive officers and some of the non-corporate managers. I was elected as CEO at the end of September. Subsequently, we hired new executives with extensive market experience to key positions, and Mr. Leonardo Moretson, our CFO. We are also concerned with the appreciation of our internal talents to compose the new board of executive officers, people with energy to change, and the internal knowledge required to recognize the strengths and credibility of a company with more than 45 years of operations. This team develops strategies to face the current challenging environment experienced by Stasha. Thus, we readjusted the corporate structure with the objective of focusing our core business. From the beginning, we understood the need to improve our operating leverage opportunities. So we restructure our business to eliminate non-priority projects given the macroeconomic crisis in Brazil and to strengthen our processes and management of our business units in a separate way, the on-campus and distance learning modalities. We also revised our significant accounting practices and policies, which were responsible for adjustment in the results of the second quarter of 2016. Based on the best governance practices and in order to ensure the correct comparability of information presented to the market, we restated the comparative information for 2014 to 2015 in the first quarter of 2016 and made one-off adjustment in the second quarter of 2015. With these lessons learned, the company created a compliance area and internal controls area, which together with the governance risk management area aims to ensure that the revision of policies and practices will continue and become a permanent fixture. I can say the changes were not easy, but were absolutely necessary in order to realign our management and prepare the company for sustainable growth and to be able to explore the operational levels of its scale. I will now continue with this quarter highlights on slide 4. We see that our net revenues came to $3.2 billion in 2016, 7.6% up on 2015, excluding the effects of the present value adjustment of FIES receivables in 2015. In the fourth quarter of 2016, EBITDA totaled $207.3 million, more than 100% up on the fourth quarter of 2015, with the following positive impacts. The first one, $43 million from the reversal of the provision accrued on the second quarter for some FIES receivables. Second, $7.2 million from the FIES discount rate as the second half of 2016. And third, $46.7 million from the sale of receivables. For a fair comparison, excluding these impacts, comparable EBITDA would have come to $134.8 million, 30% than the fourth quarter of 2015, accompanied by a margin of 16.9%, up by 3.4 percentage points. In 2016, EBITDA came to $652.4 million, 3.1% up on 2015. Excluding the following non-recurring effects or effects that did not occur in prior periods, as shown in the table, comparable EBITDA would have come to $691.2 million, 10.5% up on 2015, accompanied by a margin of 21.7%, up to 0.6 points year-on-year, virtually flat over 2015. I will now turn the floor over to our IR to present with more details the performance of our student base and tickets. Flavio, you can go now.
Good morning, everyone. I will talk about slide number 5. SASU closed 2016 with a total of 508,000 students, 2% more than in 2015, as it can be seen in the chart on the right side of the page. This growth is mainly due to the 3.4% increase on the on-campus undergraduate base, which was significantly influenced by 3.8 percentage points increase in the segment retention rate. We believe that with the changes in the students' accounting policy, our base is cleaner and tends to show lower dropout rates. The 27.2% growth in our distance learning graduate base also contributed to the student base. Our partnerships also played a key role in the segment's intake process. I must comment on the 2.2% reduction in our distance learning undergraduate base over fourth quarter 2015, which came 106,900 students. In 2016, distance learning had 3 enrollment cycles only, unlike the previous years when intake occurred every quarter. We thus extended the periods of its 2 main intakes in order to reduce the operating costs of smaller enrollment cycles. Despite of the decline in the segment's student base in the fourth quarter 2016, it is worth noting that the 3.7 percentage points increase in the retention rate over the fourth quarter 2015. Moving on to slide 6, I will talk about distance learning and on-campus average tickets. Beginning with the on-campus segment, tickets increased by 9.3% in the fourth quarter 2016 over the same period last year. Analyzing the on-campus undergraduate segment only, we see an increase of 7% in the fourth quarter in line with the inflation adjustment. The on-campus graduate segment increased by 24.3% in the fourth quarter due to the higher prices for the new students and the gradual reduction of scholarships and discounts granted. Therefore, it is worth noting the deduction line, which dropped 11.5 percentage points over gross operating revenue. In fourth quarter 2016, the distance learning average ticket increased by 24.1% over the same period last year due to the change mainly with regards to the relationship with partner centers and the management of their performance. In 2016, we see an increase of 5.3% and 6.7% in the on-campus and distance learning segments, respectively. I will now turn the floor over to our CFO, Leonardo Moretti, who will talk about our financial performance.
Thank you, Flavia. Good morning, everyone. Let's move to slide 7. We present the net revenue figures. As you can see in the first chart, the net revenue came to close 797 million in Q4 16, 8.2% up compared to the same quarter of 2015. In 2016, net operating revenue came to 3.2 billion reais, 8.6% up on 2015. In spite of the price adjustment applied by the base on inflationary costs in the year, net revenue was negatively impacted by, first, 51.3 million reduction in Pronatec revenue due to the graduation of the last students in the segment. Second, 17 billion reduction in the other revenues, mainly due to the end of the Rio 2016 Olympic Games project related to training offered by Estácio to the volunteers. And third, the 14.3 million increase in other deductions due to the accounting of transfers to distance learning partners as of Q4 2015. Additionally, the 1.8 percentage in scholarship and discounts as a percentage of gross operating revenue between 2015 and 16, mainly due to the significant increase in monthly tuition, exemption, and discounts granted during the intake cycle of the first half of 2016. Moving on to slide 8, I will talk a little bit about our operating costs. The cash cost of services represented 57.1% of the net operating revenues in Q4 16, an increase of 2.2 percentage points versus almost 55% in Q4 15, essentially due to the personal line, which had three positive impacts in Q4 16 as follows. First, 14.5 million increase in collective bargaining agreements, mainly due to the payment of retroactive amounts. Second, a non-recurring amount of 6.9 million referring to faculty severance due to internal restructuring. And third, an amount of 17.9 million referring to a difference of fewer vacation days granted in Q4 16 over Q4 15. It's worth remembering that vacations to be granted in Q4 16 were granted in Q16 due to the Rio 2016 Olympic Games, increasing Q3-16 over results over Q4-16. Excluding these points highlighted on the slide, the margin personal cost line would have increased by approximately 2.3 percentage points in Q4-16. Let's jump into slide 9. We present our operating expense. Selling expenses margin increased by 15.5 percentage points in Q4-16. Provision for doubtful amounts margin increased by 10.9 percentage points in Q4 over the same period in 2000 due to the reversal of $3 million from the provision recorded in second Q16 to comply with the obligations with FMDR related to the specific receivables from FIES students. In the second half of 16, we evaluated the matter with our internal and external legal advisors, deepened the study of students' academic performance, and concluded that it has not breached the rules of academic performance, which were the object of the provision, and thus reversed it into 416 the amount previously accrued. Note that the net effect in the full year is nil. Another factor that significantly increased PDA in Q4-16 was the sale of the receivables portfolio in the net of $47.1 million, of which $62.7 million from the sale of the customer portfolio and $15.7 million from the present value. It's worth noting that the sales of receivable portfolio are thoroughly approved and should always represent a better opportunity for the company when compared to the historical recovery and offset values. Regarding market expense, the end of the Olympic Games institutional campaign and the review of our market campaigns began to produce results, generating a year-on-year margin gain of 4.5 percentage points. It's worth noting that this line represented 6.7% of net revenues in 2016, of which 8% in the first half of 16 and 5.4% in the second half of 16. In 2016, G&A expenses represented 13.8% of the net operating revenue, a 1 percentage point down on 2015, mainly due to the one-off adjustment of second Q2-16 in the amount of $28.1 million. As a result of the revision of the company's contingency base, taking into account the nature and market assumptions. The following lines also underwent one-off adjustments. First, personnel due to internal restructuring as a result of the reduction on the corporate structure and staff adjustments, and outside services due to the additional expenses with advisors involved in the ongoing M&A negotiations. It's worth noting that the 19 million reais reduction in the institutional events line in 2016 due to the end of the Rio Olympic Games project, which partially offset the runoff effects I have just talked about. Moving to slide 10, we see that net income of 124 million reais recorded in Q4-16 was a result of 109.7% increase in the pure EBITDA, which exceeds the increase in the depreciation and amortization lines and in the negative financial results in this period. Net income fell by 16.4% in 16 over compared to 2015, essentially due to the increase in the negative financial results and the depreciation in the amortization line. In 16, the financial results of 86.3 million negatively impacted by the increase of approximately 27 million in the financial discount line due to the more aggressive campaigns we carried out in the second half of 2016 to recover credits, mainly from students who lost FIA support. It's worth noting that revenue with fines and interest on monthly payments in areas also increased by approximately 17 million reais, which did not exceed the increase in financial discounts. Moving to slide 11, we present the average receivables days. We continue to focus on improving our collection campaign and the students' debt renegotiation policy, the results of which have already become apparent in the performance of average non-FIEC receivables days, which improved by 12 days in comparison with Q4 2015. The increase in the accounts receivable in Q4 16 was primarily due to the upturn in FIES accounts receivable. The Estácio's average receivable days came to 132 in Q4 16, 2 days lower than the same period last year. Even being impacted by the delays in amending the FIES contract for the second half semester of 2016 and the consequence of the flow of transfer this quarter. As a result, FIES receivable days average 236 days. On slide 12, in the first table, we see the information on our capitalization in cash. Cash and cash equivalents closed 2016 at 404 million. Conservatively invested in fixed income instruments pegged to CDI, interbank rates, government bonds, and certificates of deposit with top-tier Brazilian banks. Bank debt of 1 billion reais correspond mainly to the company's debenture issues, second series of 300 million, third series of 187 million, and fourth series of 100 million. The loan from IFC, first installment of 48.5 million and second of around 20 million reais. And the capitalization of equipment leasing expenses in compliance with law 11,638. The 38.6 million reduction in the loans and financing lines over to 2015 was essentially due to the settlement in 2016 of a foreign currency loan from Banco Itaú of 227 million reais and the entire first issue of debentures of approximately 214 million reais. To compose cash spent with these operations, we issued the 300 million reais in promissory notes in November 2016 and 100 million in debentures in December, which is the fourth issues, both operations carried out by Banco Itaú. Including commitments for future payments related to past acquisitions, which totaled 125.9 million reais, as well as taxes payable in installments of 15.9 million, our gross debt came to 1.16 billion reais at the end of 2016, resulting in a net debt of 760.4 million reais. Still on this slide, we presented our investments. In 2016, we invested 186.8 million, 118.8 million of which in maintenance, mainly in the upgrading of systems, equipment, libraries, and laboratories in our units. In 2016, investments accounted for nearly 5.9% of the period net revenue, mainly in our academic model and in the new IT architecture project, which increased by 25.1% and 59.1% respectively over 2015. On slide 13, we present our cash flow. Our operating cash flow was positive by 51.7 million and 339.7 million in Q4 2016 and 2016, respectively. Substantial improvements over the same period last year, especially when analyzing the EBITDA of operating cash flow conversion ratio, which stood at 23.8% in Q4 16 versus 3.8% in Q4 2015. In 2016, this ratio was 52.1% against minus 14.4% in 2015. Now I will turn the floor back over our CEO, Pedro Thompson, for his closing remarks. Pedro, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moretson. Well, to finish our presentation, I present our 2017 objectives on slides 14 and 15. Since we took on the challenge to manage Estácio, we implemented relevant changes, focusing on three great drivers of value creation. First one, maintain the organizational climate. With so many changes in such a short time, our major concern was the maintenance of the organizational climate in order to establish a good level of productivity among the employees. Therefore, focal points have been appointed in each executive area whose main mission is to report their needs, concerns, and perceptions of new challenges faced by the company. The first results could already be observed in the annual climate survey concluded in February 2017. The survey, conducted by an external consulting firm specialized in human resource projects, was answered by more than 10,000 people, equivalent to an engagement of 73% of Estácio's employees, and achieved a significant overall result of 74% level of satisfaction. Redesign one of Estácio's most important projects, enrolling new students in apply chains in the first cycle of 2017. We believe that Estácio's profitability growth is mainly driven by the scale of its operations, its focus in efforts on making significant changes to some one of the main pillars of the company's intake strategy, including our new pricing strategy. We reduce the number of scholarships and discounts granted in order to simplify the management of processes to enroll new students. Regionalization of marketing campaigns. We changed our advertising strategy from a more national institutional focus to a more regional appeal, using a cheaper and more efficient communication channels in each location. Resizing of the sales force. The number of sales advisors nearly tripled, betting on aggressive approach with high financial returns vis-a-vis the investment on this channel. New goals on compensation systems. At the same time we expanded our sales force, we also restructured our goals, KPIs, in order to associate them with quality rather than just quantity, the implicit net operation revenue of intake. Moving to slide 15, another major objective is to recover operating and financial results, focusing on the cash generation. They need to restructure policies and practices in the financial area, aiming to at greater control, also resulted in some changes in the management of the financial area itself. One of the greatest projects we began implementing was the redesigning of the charging and collection processes. The work will be focused on creating a culture of timeline payments with a significant reduction in irregular and aggressive benefits granting to defaulting students and the creation of policies that encourage timeline payments. The focus is no longer on PDA and debts more than 180 days overdue, but on collection. Since the beginning of the debt, exclusively through specialized companies contracted for such purpose. In addition, The charging processes will be more rigorous, with shorter contact intervals, blacklisting, and process using cluster strategies based on debtor's profile. We also had the launch of Stasio's installment payment program. Students enrolling in Stasio as of the beginning of 2017 can pay their monthly tuitions through Stasio's installment payment program, or PAR, which allows students to pay half of the total amount of the course while studying and the other half after graduation. The payment installments will occur gradually. Students can pay 30% of the tuition in the first two semesters, 40% in the third semester, 50% in the fourth semester, and 60% as of fifth semester. We believe that a healthy business with an interested student base is interested is the secret for the sustainability of a post-secondary education company. For this reason, it began its plan to build student loyalty, mainly focused on reducing dropout rates. The reduction in dropout rates is a great opportunity to improve profitability, given the company's full cost structure is very used, optimizing the returns efforts to attract students. Before concluding our presentation, I want to show on slide 16 that our 2015 NIDS results disclosed last week, which, similarly to previous year, reaffirmed the success of our teaching model. In this cycle, 98% of our courses were evaluated with positive results, with grades above 3, as we can see in the first chart. In the second chart, we also can see the evolution in the number of institutions with positive grades, totaling 97%. 8 of our institutions were graded 4 on a scale of 1 to 5, with 3 being the minimum. We are proud to say that Universidade Estado de Sá, the largest single institution of our group, is among the 8 institutions graded 4 in the evaluation cycle. It is worth noting that institutions and courses graded 4 or higher have priority in some MEC processes, leveraging potential and autonomy to open new courses, distance learning centers, and increase the number of places, reducing regulatory growth restrictions with qualitative results that prove the group's educational sustainability. The level reached in our group is something totally disruptive to our business model. I would also like to emphasize that students of courses evaluated in the 2015 cycle accounts for approximately 55% of our total base, which allowed a significant qualitative growth in the general indicators. Universidade Estado de Sá, for example, reached the level of institutions graded 4 and became the second best private university in Rio de Janeiro, only behind PUC-Rio, a traditional non-profit institution. We are very happy with the results achieved, which are part of sustainable long-term work with collaboration over the 7,000 faculty members and whose work we continue with great diligence and care. With these analysis results, I can affirm on behalf of staff that we are proud to be one of the educational groups whose results of academic quality evaluation most improved. I highlight our commitment as one of Brazil's largest education institutions to balance an operation with a scale of more than 500,000 students in order to deliver academic excellence. Therefore, I can say that Stasio begins 2017 with energy, focusing on ongoing pursuit of better operating, academic, and financial performance. We learned a lot in 2016, and we are sure that 2017 will be a year of hard work. You can now move to Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star, then 1. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star 2. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Bruno Gardino with Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. The first question, could you help us to understand the movement in the provision for doubtful accounts in the quarter? When we look at our financial statements, we see that the $47 million from the net sale of receivables had been already written off, but apparently this transaction represented a gain of a similar size in this line. So I just wanted to understand this movement, if my understanding is correct.
Bruno, can you repeat your question, please, because we didn't get it.
Okay. We had this $47 million net impact from the sale of receivables in the quarter. And as far as we understand, this $47 million was already out of your provision for doubtful accounts. We saw this coming back to your results as a gain. Is this interpretation correct? So when we look at your PDA, we should adjust for this $47 million. Is that all right?
Yes, you are right. If the accounting policy was to reverse a PDA of this value. Just to emphasize that the sale of these receivables was a trade that we made, and we compare the return of the discounts of that we had in this receivable with our organic recuperation of this receivable, and it was much higher to the opportunity to sell. But your thoughts about the accounting treatment is correct.
Okay, thanks. And a second question, if I may. In the cost line, you commented on impact of $15 million regarding to retroactive agreements with your faculty. I just wanted to understand if it was already expected by you when you assumed the company, or if this was a new negotiation you had to make recently. That's it.
No, I didn't expect it in those terms.
Okay, thanks.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Pedro Thompson for his final remarks.
I would like to thank you all for your taking part in our results conference call. Our investor relations department is always at your disposal to help you with any question you may have. Our contact information is available in our website. We hope to see you again at our conference call next quarter. Once again, thank you very much and have a great day.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.